man. So coming up next to the stage, we have a speaker who actually has to go run to a book signing right after this. She is the co-creator and author of My Lady's Choosing, or is it Her Lady's Choosing? My Lady's Choosing, a choose-your-own-adventure romance book just published by Quirk, as well as the co-creator and author of Taylor Swift Girl Detective. Please welcome to the stage my friend Larissa Zagaris.
And Eric, that was very sweet because he knew I wanted to use the podium, so I appreciate you being like, why is it weird to use a podium? Thank you. So this is a little different for me. I'm a writer, so typically when I'm asked to write something, I panic about it and then spend hours crafting it. And then I panic about that, and then I perform it and seem really off the cuff. But this is different because it's way more off the cuff because I actually have a story for this theme con job. And it starts with me telling you about the job I had in high school, which was I was a lifeguard in the summer. I have a lifeguard's physique, so I know you get it. But yeah, I worked at the neighborhood pool that was across the street from my house, and I really wanted to work at Borders Books and Music because I was better than everyone in my town. And there was not a Borders Books and Music in my town. My town is very much like a Springsteen song without a factory, so it's a little sadder than a Springsteen song. But it's like poor Pawnee is my town, and then actual Eagleton is called Orland Park, and that was where the Borders was. And I applied 7 times, and I think that, like, I hope that they kept my applications and just laughed at them, because I would like write about like my favorite films and directors. And I at one point was like, qualifications, I have had a subscription to Entertainment Weekly since 5th grade. But they never called me back. So I worked at the pool because it was across the street from my house. And I definitely thought I was better than the pool and definitely thought I was better than my town, and was kind of the odd duck out, which is not a phrase, at the pool, because it had a really interesting mix of people that worked there. So we had concessions Mike, that we sometimes called Crackhead Mike because he did smoke crack, and his name was Mike. Wasn't us being mean, it was just, you know, a really factual nickname. And we were managed by this woman who worked for the Park District but barely was there, so it was kind of a wonderland of youngish people all working at a pool, and it was a lot of 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds like me, people that would never be friends outside of the actual job. And then we were managed by a woman that I'll call Sarah, who was 21 and had to move home because her brother was beating up her mom. And that's not funny, so I'm glad no one laughed, but she kind of got like a rough deal and then ended up back in her high school job, like very soon after escaping the town, she was dragged back in. So this is my town. And we all hung out at the pool, and we started to hang out outside of the pool. And how it happened, I don't know, because I didn't start this, but I definitely got in on it, as we would go orbing. And orbs, like, I hope I've painted the picture of, like, the bleak suburb that I'm from accurately. Orbs are a lawn decoration, or they were. I don't know if they still are. But they look like a Christmas ornament, like a Christmas ball, like the most boring ornament. But if it were big, like this big, and then you would put it like in a bird bath, or like a fairy would hold it, or a stick would like dangle it. And these started showing up in Midlothian in the mid-90s, Midlothian, Illinois. If you've been there, yeah, you are not from there, but I appreciate the woo. They started showing up, and we're like, oh, what are those? And it became like a hilarious thing to drive around with these friends that you would never have met or been friends with outside of this job, and steal them. And I didn't steal them at first. Like, it wasn't me that was stealing them. I just would be in the car when they were being stolen, or I would drive the car when they were being stolen. And it was hilarious in that way that, like, when you're a teenager, you don't care about anyone's feelings, and you're just like, this is funny to me right now. Life. Finally, something in this two-bit town that's great. Stealing. So we stole these orbs, and we, like, didn't think anything of it other than like our own youthful vitality and friendship being forged. And I was finally like, oh, I guess if I don't work at Borders, at least I have this with these people. and all was well. I think that Sarah, who was our manager, was like, what am I doing? Like, but okay, like, fine. Like, she was in on it, too. And one day, we showed up in the police blotter, because my town is like a Springsteen song, and like that, it has a 1950s newspaper letter thing that goes out, and it has this cute police blotter where it's like drug deals, home invasions, local vandalism of garden decorations. And we thought it was hilarious at first. We thought it was so funny. We're like, we made the paper. Until her mom's boyfriend saw an orb in her car. And her mom's boyfriend was the chief of police. And her mom's boyfriend didn't like her because Sarah's life, if you haven't already gathered, really sucked. And he was like, where'd you get that? Isn't that that thing that was in the blotter? And she said, oh, my friend gave it to me. I don't know. So I walk to work one day and walk into what I can only describe as, like, we didn't have Logan Lucky then, but it was Logan Lucky, which is a heist movie with poor people. And I walk in and all of my coworkers and friends are like graven-faced, sweating bullets, and talking about how to handle the orb situation. Because she was convinced if her mom's boyfriend saw the one, he was going to see the 35 she had in her room. There were 36, but one of us made a bong out of it. And it actually was not, this is not me. This was someone else way more creative and into cannabis. So I actually said, I can't go to jail. I'm going to NYU. So I was that person. That was my role in the heist, being dead weight that was panicking about tarnishing her pristine reputation after doing a shitty thing. So we didn't know what to do. And we had all these ideas that were all stupid. And finally, Crackhead Mike came in, Concessions Mike, if that is preferable to you. And once he like clocked the situation, and we're all like, you know, like you see our shots, like our solo shots, like the brains, like the brawn, like the woman that quit college for this. And he came in and he like figured out what was going on. He goes, I'll handle it. Get him here and I'll handle it. So Sarah and her like too young for her boyfriend managed to smuggle the 35 orbs into the pool in black plastic bags. And he drove off with them into the night. And this is like, you know, we're just like sweating bullets all night. And in the morning we show up in tankinis or board shorts to be like, what is our fate? Like, what's going to happen? Like, have we been had? And Concessions Mike comes back and he's like, it's handled. I just put them all back at different houses. And I love how hard you laughed because I just conned the shit out of you. That is not how the story happened, because this story is atonement for orbs. This story is orb atonement. If you've read orb atonement, oh. Okay, orbs. Okay, so what actually happened? He disappeared into the night. We sweat bullets. He comes back in. How did you handle it, crack Concessions Mike? He goes, I drove him out to Mokena. And if you know anything about the Southland of Chicago, Mokena in the 90s was like farmland with like a bunch of subdivisions. And we're like, okay, that's good. All right, it's good. Mokena's good. Okay, good. No one knows shit in Mokena. No one can tie Mokena to Midlothian. It's like a 45-minute drive away. And then he goes, and I destroyed him. And we're like, okay, like how? Like they're weird glass, like giant fiberglass balls. Like, and he goes, I just took each bag and I just smashed it. And I smashed it and I smashed it and I smashed it until it turned into like dust. And I'm like, okay. Like no one will know their orbs, I guess. They'll just think it's glitter. And then we're like, and Sarah, who's like the most invested in this, because to her it's like the pinnacle of her undoing. Like she went from college to this, goes, okay, so then you just dumped them there, right? And he goes, no, I brought them back to Midlothian. And her face, like, I just wish I could describe her face. Like, I'm a writer, I'll never have words to describe her face. And it just, like, fell 25 stories and then didn't die. And she looked at him and she was like, where did you put them? Like, where did you put this glittery shit that like everyone in this town that has nothing else going is going to be looking for? And he goes, behind the family home video in the dumpster, which was next to her house. We didn't get caught. She didn't get caught. We didn't end up in the blotter. We got off scot-free. But I think about this story a lot. Like, I think about it all the time because it's hilarious and it's awful. And here's the part I did write, so I'm going to read it. I don't want to steal joy from people like that ever again. I don't know if I was ever really mad at the orbs, but I think growing up in the working class side of a poor town, like a working poor town, the orbs represented something to me that was detestable. It was people putting lipstick on a pig that was their life. And even though I was doing that because I wanted to work at Borders and go to NYU, and I didn't work at Borders, but I did go to NYU, it was something that was caustic and full of hatred and no understanding. And even though we didn't think about that, we just thought about being kids and like being goofy and having a good time at others' expense. Like, we probably broke a lot of hearts that night because you have, people who just are constantly behind the eight ball financially and health-wise, who don't really have an extra $35, and they're spending it on a ball they find in Home Depot, and they're like, this. This is the thing. It's my shiny. And we took their shiny. And I never want to do that again. So, like, we didn't have the phrase basic when I was growing up. But I think it's okay to be basic. And it's okay to like your orbs or your, you know, your PSLs or whatever it is that, like, gives you joy. Like, the real heist is taking on the people that, like, chokehold the joy out of life so much that that's the only way we can find joy. That's a much longer con. But the lesson of this you should take home is do not go orbing. It is for assholes and for punk kids. Thank you so much. Also, we'll be signing at Quirk Books booth 516. It's My Lady's Choosing. You can find us at kittyandlarissa.tumblr.com. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Nerdlock.
Yeah, Larissa Zagaris, everybody. She's signing right now. She'll be there after the show. We also have a show after this. Anyone out there going orbing tonight, please don't. So I'm also from around the same place as Larissa, and I have been to Midlothian, and I associate it with Bachelor's Grove, the cemetery, the haunted cemetery. And doesn't that just sound like a Springsteen song waiting to be written? Bachelor's Grove, like, that's perfect for him.